Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. I think that today is going to be one of those random thought episodes that begins with a little episode from last night that sort of put into a highly focused experience of why I realized that I really don't like living in this time in which I find myself placed. Call it an experience that just coalesced the feeling that comes upon me from all sorts of directions during an average day. A small thing, very different from the bigger type of events that drive you crazy about how the world is thinking about basic, once undisputed facts that are actually being disputed to the point of insanity. So, last night I was on my computer and I was doing some work, and at some point I went away and then came back. My computer is currently operating on a visual manifestation of recognizing me. So it looks at me, it says, "You know, that's you," and allows me to sign in. Well, that's a good thing because, up to here, because I don't remember my password. And every time that happens with anything related to technology nowadays, related to the internet, related to your television, related to virtually anything that you do, related to Amazon, related to every single thing that's supposed to be more convenient and in fact is not. Well, I knew that if I didn't remember it and it didn't let me on, that it would be an endless period of time diverted from what I was trying to do to trying to get back onto my computer. And so it was. For whatever reason, maybe because I was wearing glasses, the computer suddenly announced it didn't recognize me and that I had to sign on in one of other ways, either to put in a PIN number or a password. I didn't remember either. And I went in search of the first thing I did was I thought if I shut off the computer and turn it back on, it might go back to seeking to recognize me by my facial features. But no such luck. So, not remembering my password or my PIN, off I went in search, where I keep a pile of passwords, and couldn't find it. Could not find it. So I thought, well, okay, I'll try to recover the password or renew, get a different password. So I went back on and it said sign in options. And at some point it popped up that there was a segment for new password, changing password. But by the way, that didn't happen every time there was a pop-up. Sometimes it did and sometimes it didn't. So I clicked on change password and it said something about a challenge question, or it also gave me, alternatively, it gave me a hint of my password, which would be great, except that there were several options from that hint and I couldn't remember which one. And all of a sudden, I found myself in this raging funk, if that's possible. It sounds like it's two opposite things. But I was raging. I was raging about every single thing you try to do in this so-called modern, quick, easy, self-gratifying society seems to be absolutely the opposite. I can't get into my own computer. And at one point, it offered to let me recover by some other option, which I then clicked on, at which time it told me that my computer wouldn't allow me to do that. So I was just, okay, what do? I have to take this computer somewhere, try to explain this to some nice nerd, and pay money to get into my own computer because there is all this protection for me that protects me from myself and my own ability to use the thing that I have to use. I will not tell you the words that I found myself using. in rather intense succession. Scary, actually. So scary that once again, I'm off to confession today. All of the things that have been just weighing upon me for the last several months, and they are, like for most of us, a variety of things, probably not things that others would find particularly difficult, but for me, they are. But all of those things came crashing upon me because of this small computer glitch, and I was virtually, in my view, insane. I almost think that if you asked me about God in that moment, I would have said, God who? That's how scary this was. Add to that, I have been having leg pain, which apparently is caused by hip arthritis, and I've been going to PT, and while PT sometimes helps, yesterday when I had it, it actually didn't help. It was worse after the PT, and I was in pain, and so in addition to the things that were weighing upon me, I couldn't function even to walk to my computer without some kind of pain, which, as you know, what I ought to have been thinking, which is, wow, what an opportunity. I'm walking in the footsteps of Christ. I'm suffering in union with Him for the salvation of souls and the reparation of sin. And I wasn't thinking any of that at all. At some point, I don't know how, I again went through all of my passwords. I found a section of my little folder in which I keep some of the passwords I've had from before. I flipped through all of that again. I tried as many of them as seemed reasonable based upon the hint, and still nothing. And then finally, somehow or another, I should have seen it before, it was there. I found a PIN number that worked. And I was back on my computer. I did my task while grumbling under my breath and sometimes louder than that. I have a feeling my neighbors heard more curse words from me yesterday than they've heard from me in the 12 years that I've lived here. Maybe they said to themselves, is she losing her mind? The answer would have been, yes, she is losing her mind. I was somewhat relieved that I had been able to get into my computer and decided to shut out everything else that was going on in my life by not praying, but by watching Father Goose with Cary Grant and Leslie Caron. That was one of the last movies made by Cary Grant in which he plays this sort of misanthropic guy living in some island nearly occupied by the Japanese during World War II, where they have people who watch for their airplanes, the Japanese airplanes in the air, and then report back so that they can figure out what the movements are of the opposing troops. And this particular man has no desire to be involved in the war. He doesn't care what's happening in the world. He doesn't want to be a hero. And he ends up having to babysit on this island by some circumstance a teacher, Leslie Caron, and a bunch of little British girls and a couple of French girls from a school that was stranded. And it's a wonderful movie. At one point, they call him as a kind of a nickname, they call him Filthy Beast because he's just such a quirky, hapless, drinking kind of guy. Debonair, of course, as Cary Grant does it, but that's who he is. So they call him Filthy Beast. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's what I'd call myself right now, the way I'm behaving. Filthy Beast. Definitely not a committed Christian in her behavior or thought pattern right now. I had some wine. You'll be glad to know I did not drink to excess, which would have been willful and therefore another sin, so I didn't do that, but I did have two ice cream bars afterwards. So I don't know, is that borderline for gluttony? Who knows? Anyway, I did that and I calmed down. Oh, I forgot. The other thing that kind of gloomed me was that I went to, during the day, I went to a nursing home to see a friend who has memory care issues. And of course, that means that there were lots of other people in the same place with memory care issues. And it just happens that where she was spending her afternoon was an area of gathering of all the other patients. And I just found it all very depressing. And again, I wasn't in the train of thought about faith and suffering and the transformation of suffering and the fact that if we go along on this rocky road, it's difficult. It's a veil of tears, but the end result is joy. Whereas if you're living this life of pleasure, as one of my friends was talking about, I think it was one of the Fatima seers, I'm not sure which one, who saw the two roads, the road that people seemed to be very happy on and cavorting and running along, and then when they got to the end, they ended up in hell, basically. And then the road where you're suffering during your life and you're trying to follow God's law and you are trying to follow Christ and you're carrying your cross and you're tripping and falling and crying but getting up again, and then at the end there is glory for eternity. Well, I couldn't quite manage that thought. And so while I was in the nursing home, I was really depressed. And I stayed for about an hour, so all I could manage. Plus, I was really unhappy that the one patient coordinator, the head nurse that had been there for about 6 months, who was absolutely the most amazing, wonderful, engaged, had quit. So, you know, that disturbed me too, because no one has told us who the new person is. I found her name on a door. Door was closed, which was what I used to see before this other guy came, that there was never anybody there, never anybody to talk to. And I thought to myself, this could be my life in a very short time. And I was just down in the dumps even before I got home and had trouble with my computer. I didn't watch the whole of Father Goose, but it got to be around, I don't know, midnight, and I thought, I ought to go to bed and just try to get some sleep. I will say that I did, either last night or this morning, I did do, I think, a fairly substantial act of contrition with the recognition that I'm going to go to confession later before I go off to something this evening. And I don't know if I felt better, but I felt sort of able to get up again and, yes, begin again. Now I begin. I'd really messed up. I was, you know, basically, as I said, the filthy beast, not a very religious acting person, but okay, I'm getting back on the road. I think another part of this is that since my elderly friend died, a different elderly friend, I have found myself in need of paring away the things that I have, the stuff that's in my one-bedroom apartment. And in addition to distributing some of the things that I have as a result of her room being cleared out, I decided that what I needed to do is make room for getting rid of my stuff. For the last several weeks, even before the craziness, I've been going through my own material, things that I bought that I had absolutely no use for or forgot I had, and I've been giving them to the Vietnam Veterans of America. I went through a bunch of glasses about a week ago drinking glasses, and I said, I have all these things. I hardly ever use them. They're just gathering dust, and they're in a box to go to the Vietnam Veterans. You say, why don't I sell some of this stuff and get a few bits of cash? Well, because in the past I have helped disassemble other people's homes, people who have died, and other needs. And when you do try to sell stuff, everybody tries to nickel and dime you, so that things that are worth a great deal of money, they're telling you isn't worth anything. And I said to myself about my own stuff, which I have no obligation to sell for any kind of a price, that I don't want to do that. I either give it away or I throw it away. I'm not going to play that game, game of negotiation, which I have always despised. I don't want to negotiate. Just tell me what it's worth and either give me the money or I'll pay you what it's worth. Whatever it is, don't play games. I'm so tired of games. What can I say? This world, when you look around you with the political world, it probably was always like this, but now you cannot avoid the fact that everything is a game of power and greed and control, and I just don't want to engage in it. So I've been getting rid of probably some valuable things of mine by just giving them away. Well, one of the things I left out to dispose of that is just awaiting pickup was a guitar that belonged to my father. My father played mostly the mandolin, and that I decided to keep. But he also, for a brief time, dabbled in the guitar. I should interrupt here just to say that I can tell I'm still at the edge of, what's the word, insanity. Because some people were talking downstairs, and I yelled, after I shut this down, I yelled, "Quiet!" Now, of course, they have every right to be making noise downstairs. I have no right to tell them to stop talking because I'm doing a podcast. So anyway, there are a couple of people who do some cleaning up on the weekend around the building, and one of them was up here and saw that I had this guitar, and said to me, you're giving this away? I said, yeah. And he mentioned a nephew, and I said, nothing to say further. Take it, take the strings that I have as well. I'd rather give it to someone I actually know rather than just disposing of it to a charity, albeit a good charity. This is more personal. I like doing this. So I gave the guitar that needs a new string to this individual, and I feel great about it. It was a moment of connection or something that was enheartening in a time when I'm feeling very, very discouraged. So what's the point of my telling you all of this? I think part of the point is it's a little frightening how easy it is to be on the edge of turning away from God and yet believe and even pursue being a person of faith. That moment where, say, Peter, in outright fear, call it fear and anxiety, call it any number of emotions that human beings have at the drop of a hat, that Peter, who had spent several years with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, he knew was the Son of the living God, said was the Son of the living God, basically said, "I do not know him." Three times. The very rock upon which Christ was building his church said, "I don't know him," at a time when it was most critical to support him. And then there was Judas, who did essentially the same thing, essentially set it up that Jesus would be captured and tortured and murdered for money. Judas is condemned. Peter repented and was saved and became one of the forces that spread Christianity before Paul to ends of the earth. We stand on a precipice every single day. That precipice either takes us down to hell or up to heaven, one side or the other. Or as Ignatius calls it, the two standards. You're either standing with God or you're standing with Satan. And it all can happen in a split second. What's the remedy? There is a remedy. The remedy that I'm going to today. The remedy is going to God and seeking his forgiveness immediately without a pride that condemns us. And boy, you and I know, well, I know it for myself, you know how hard it is to put that pride aside. Put it aside now. Because my eternal life, your eternal life depends on it. So, last night I sinned. I was like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, my head spinning wildly and uncontrolled. Not quite that bad, I hope, but bad enough that to stay in this state would be, would definitely lead to an interesting private judgment. That brings up the second point, the absolute essential nature of the Catholic sacraments. Because where am I going to go? I'm going to go to one of the seven sacraments so that tomorrow or later tonight, because I'm going to Mass early tonight for an event, that I can then go and receive communion, not necessarily worthy, because I know I will never be worthy to receive him, but at least not in a state of darkness, of sin. I can barely do any of this to live a good life, a hopefully good life, with the sacraments. Can anyone imagine what it must be like without the sacraments? Maybe people don't realize it, but the fact is, you cannot be good without grace, without the strength of grace at every moment of your life. God gives us an opportunity to turn back to him at every moment until that very last moment when there are no more choices. So, all I can say is, if you're a Catholic and you had a bad night like me last night, and you can say to yourself, yeah, I committed a sin last night. I've committed sin over the last several nights. This is the time to take yourself to confession and say, oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins because of thy just punishment, but most of all because they offend thee, who are worthy of all my love, I firmly resolve, with the help of thy grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Thank you, if you have gotten through this episode, for listening to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you.